Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business of Music podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about owning and growing a music business. My name is Elliot Towsley, and my business partner James Landry and I are your hosts. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on our next podcast. And to learn even more, subscribe to our YouTube channel and sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Business of Music podcast.
Today on the Business of Music podcast, we are excited to dive into this mid-year 2021 revenue statistics report from the RIAA. I believe that is the Recording Industry Association of America. Essentially, this organization that goes and gets a ton of information about the music industry, how consumers are buying it, where they're buying it, where this money is coming from, where it's going. One, to help musicians understand what this marketplace is like, and also for like investors and record companies and people like that. Mm-hmm. Last month, they released their mid-year 2021 report of the revenue in all of the music industry. And what they've done is they're comparing the first half of 2021 to the first half of 2020. And we all know halfway through the first half of 2020, this thing called coronavirus, really weird if you weren't there, but this thing called coronavirus hit. And obviously, the music industry was not
prepared,
excluded from the impact of COVID, right? So what this report is trying to go into, even though COVID is still very much a thing, the world is opening up a little bit more than it was when COVID was at its peak in, like, you know, March, April, May of 2020. What this report from the RIAA goes into is how much money is being made by the music industry. Where is this money being made and where is it going? So today we thought it'd be an interesting episode of the Business of Music podcast to just go through and dive into this report. Keep in mind, we love the questions that you guys send us. So if something does strike you when you're listening to this, send us an email, contact@denovoagency.com. We love to go into questions. We'll either answer them here on the podcast. We might send you a DM, answer you there. At the very least, we'll send you an email back. So definitely send an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer some of your questions on the next episode of the Business of Music podcast. So James, I think, has spent a little bit more time diving into this than I have. I think maybe before we go all the way in, James, is there anything kind of off the top of your head that was interesting with this that we can be on the lookout for as we dive into what this report says?
So I think the most interesting things to look at, kind of keep an eye on, are the differences between quarter one 2019, quarter one 2020, and then 2020 and now. That being said, because when people are home with coronavirus, more people that we were talking about streaming going up, more people subscribing, watching videos and stuff like that. So just music intake was going up, but new music wasn't really coming out due to tours not happening. Artists didn't want to release their music and not be able to monetize it. So what you're going to see is the numbers in 2020 are likely much, much higher than 2019, but it's not because of new music coming out, most likely. It's from people being home, trying to entertain themselves different ways, signing up for Spotify for the first time ever. But now they're increasing, and the money is also increasing because of new music and monetizing all those new subscribers from last year.
For the people who are watching this on YouTube, you can see the graph that James is talking about. But for those listening here on the podcast, let's go into what these numbers are saying. The first half of 2019, the wholesale, let's talk about that. What is wholesale versus retail? Wholesale being streaming device? Like, do you know the difference between, they're breaking up the revenue here each year, and one bucket is wholesale and the second bucket is retail?
Yeah, so it's who's buying it. Retail likely means us consumers buying it. Wholesale are probably talking about internally or radio stations or anyone licensing that type of way. We'd have to look, though. I don't see it defined here, so I don't want to assume, but that is the way I would read it. I'd read retail, the value of shipments at recommended or estimated list price is all they're saying, meaning selling it to us. Wholesale would be at a cheaper price, and they only sell it at a cheaper price usually when it's not us.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, well, what James is saying is, so that for the first half of 2019, wholesale and retail revenue put together was about $8.8 billion. That's 2019. The first half of 2020, halfway through the first half of 2020, COVID hits. So the first half of 2020, the revenue there was like $9.2 billion. So even though the revenue went up compared to 2019, James made the point of that's not necessarily because new music was coming out or more new music was coming out or that people were consuming the new music more. People more or less had the same amount of consumption. It's just what they decided to consume was different. James was saying, you know, things like not being able to tour, not being able to film the music video where you thought you were going to, or even getting, you know, 10 people in a room was really hard to do for a few months there. So they're just a lot of the big artists in the first half of 2020 put their big projects on hold. But now that 2021 is here, and what we're seeing is the overall revenue of the music industry compared to 2019, 2020 was more or less flat. But 2021, now we're seeing a big jump. 2020, the first half of revenue was about $9.2 billion. The first half of 2021, we're looking at $11.7 billion. That's a big difference.
And if you look at, so big things to remember here, that's overall, right? So then, well, let's look at the bottom right chart there, the U.S. music streaming revenues. It jumped a lot this year.
Oh, yeah.
Streaming revenues.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But what's crazy is if you go to the next page, there's a chart on the left side that shows you the subscriber number. And the subscribers jumped to like 10 mil this year, but it almost jumped by 20 mil during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
On the top left there. So streaming subscriptions jumped more during COVID, but they didn't make as much money at the time because they weren't releasing as much music and they weren't monetizing it because there was COVID. There was kind of this wait and see because they know they make more money other places. So what you're really seeing, that huge jump from last year to this year, is really the monetization from, what was it, 58.2 million in 2019 to 82.1 million subscriptions this year. They never really fully monetized those other almost 20 mil that came last year until now.
This is what the top of the report says. Recorded music revenues in the United States grew 27% in the first half of 2021 versus the prior year, from 5.6 to 7.1 billion at retail value. Paid subscriptions continued to be the strongest contributor to growth, comprising nearly two-thirds of total revenue and more than 80 million paid subscriptions for the first time. At wholesale value, revenues rose 25% from $3.7 billion in the first half of 2020 to $4.6 billion in the first half of 2021. The effects of COVID-19 continue to affect the industry, and year-over-year comparisons are significantly impacted by store closures, tour cancellations, and other disruptions from both 2020 and 2021. So more or less, that's what we just said. And I think this is really interesting to see that the industry as a whole is generating more money by fewer people, less stores, less tours, less new music. In terms of total volume, it is easier than ever to release a song of me going boom, boom, hey, boom, boom, hey, and hype it and putting that on Spotify. So I bet by volume, there's never been this much music. But during COVID, there I go. I got my dogs all riled up by knocking on the table. But in terms of big releases from big mainstream artists, there was definitely a 3-4-6 month wait and see period. And in terms of an entire industry, a 6 month wait and see, that's a long time. Think of like what happened to movies. They were just all of a sudden, like the James Bond movie, like is coming out this weekend or something. And it was supposed to come out in March of last year. And it was already done. So like, that's the big wait and see. Oh shit. Even though this is done, even though I've got my album, even though I'm ready for my tour, are people going to come?
Build it and they will come.
And the movies had to sit and wait a year and a half. Okay. So obviously streaming, I think what this shows is more and more streaming is becoming the norm. That might sound obvious, but if you think about it, a lot of people are old. A lot of people, like James's dad, just learned what Spotify was like 6 months ago. He's just like, we used to go to YouTube and like I have my favorite radio station. So a lot of people were not streaming. Like anyone over like the age of like 45 was like not really doing this.
They weren't using interactive streaming. They were using like Pandora, which is not interactive. It's radio station style streaming. That's changed and that gets paid out differently. People forget too. Like you don't collect those royalties the same way you do from Spotify. A lot of people weren't doing that. So artists, the payment's different. The selection's different. If they don't pick, they don't get mechanical royalty. Things are change a little bit. I think people are adjusting and we can see they're adjusting because that the other part is this is tracking paid subscriptions. A lot of people are using free Pandora, free YouTube, and just kind of listening to music. They're finally paying subscriptions for this. And now that's what we're seeing here is the payment of subscriptions. Another thing we're seeing here on the bottom of the next page is a still decreasing permanent music downloads.
I saw that.
They've tracked it and it is consistently going down. This year it's almost as high as it was last year, but it's still a little bit lower. But it is a drastic fall compared to before. And I mean, we have artists, I know all the time reaching out going, I want to sell my music on Amazon. And it goes, great, you can offer it. But just like you'll see here, it's not going to be bought. It's not going on the same way. They're including ringtones and everything here, I think, too. So albums, tracks, and other ringtones, videos. People don't buy music for permanent download because why buy it if you can just pay $10 a month to listen to it forever?
Right.
It's a lot like the DistroKid model. Depending on how much you release, it may be better off just paying $10 a month forever if you listen to that much music as well.
Mm-hmm. I think one, what we're seeing here is that worldwide streaming is growing. Like, and I think keep in mind, streaming is coming from a place where when I was in college, everyone got all of their music for free. They downloaded torrents. There was YouTube to MP3. Like
YouTube to MP3.
Maybe, you know, you would find your favorite artist when he or she put out an album. You'd buy it on iTunes to like show support, but I could also download it in 3 seconds from a torrent for free. So I think what part of this is the global expansion of like the Chinese market, the Japanese market, the Indian market, all of these other huge places are now on streaming where like, and streaming has become so inexpensive and so easy that it's worth just paying $15 a month instead of having to go through the trouble of downloading all this yourself and managing it and all that and taking up space on your computer. So a mix of one, it's easy and super cheap, and two, it's accessible to like the entire, almost the entire world now that you're just seeing in a way, even though these royalty payouts are so low, musicians and the industry are both benefiting from the growth of streaming, even though the payments are so low, because the alternative not too long ago was everyone was downloading it for free and the money was not being generated at all.
Yep. Completely. I mean, we know. I mean, I don't think anything we've said so far is surprising. I think what's surprising is how little they did monetize last year, but we knew it was going to be lower with COVID. This isn't a surprise to anyone. But the next chart, on the other hand, the physical sales chart.
Figure six. Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, figure six, for those who aren't on YouTube here. Figure six is U.S. physical music revenues in the first half of 2020. Well, and I guess that's looks incorrectly titled because they've got 3 years here. But what it is the U.S. physical music revenue in the first half of each of the 3 years. Okay, so what you see here is in 2019, the total revenue of physical music, whether that's CD, vinyl, or other, I guess, I don't know, a tape, cassette?
I guess, yeah.
An 8-track? Maybe that one Wu-Tang album that was made on gold. That's that one in there somewhere. Yeah. Okay, so in the first half of 2019, the entire physical music revenue in the United States totaled about $490 million. In the first half of 2020, that went down to about $390 million. So $100 million was gone. And keep in mind, like, more than that, actually, because the industry was growing and it was set to do more than what it was going to do the year before. And it actually lost 100. So it actually, in terms of total opportunity, probably lost, call it 150 million of potential revenue. And like it said at the top of the report, a lot of that is because people might buy vinyl or CDs when they're at a show. Also, if a lot of the record shops and a lot of the stores everywhere are closed, it's now harder to buy these things. And so the industry as a whole lost at least $100 million. So 2020, first half, all physical sales, $390 million. What do you think as a listener here, if you're not on YouTube, as a listener, what do you think it went to in 2021? It went from $393 million to $690 million, almost doubling.
Yeah.
Kinda.
What's craziest about all of this is this year, vinyl has made $467 million, which is almost $100 million more than last year and almost matching all sales in 2019.
Wow.
Just vinyl alone.
Yeah, look at this. Revenues from vinyl albums grew 94% to $467 million. Like James said, more than the entire first half of 2020 put together. Vinyl in 2021 did more than all physical sales last year. Though the comparison versus the prior year includes a period in which retail stores were significantly impacted by COVID and Record Store Day 2020 was delayed and did not occur. I never heard of that. I don't know how much that impacted it, but okay. But they're saying it didn't. Record Store Day didn't occur in 2020 and it did occur in 2021. So maybe that was the $150 million difference.
I've never heard of that before.
Revenues from CDs increased 44% to $205 million, but still remain 19% lower than they were in the first half of 2019. So even though they rose from 2020, they're still down from 2019. So that means as a whole, people aren't buying CDs as much. They're buying vinyl because it's cool. Vinyl's cool. It's retro. People who are like wine snobs insist that it sounds better. You know what I'm saying? This wine has this flavor that you just can't get anywhere else. Like, ooh, yes, Led Zeppelin on vinyl just sounds different to a trained ear like mine. Ha ha. Douche.
Of course it does.
Hit me.
Here's a question for you. If you had to guess what month record store day occurred in, usually every year, what month would you guess?
April. Well, they said the spring.
Good guess. Good job. Not last year. It was June, but apparently it's supposed to be April. In 2020, it was November.
Okay, so next year, the sponsor of the Business of Music podcast will be Record Store Day, partnering up with Amazon Prime to give you all of your vinyl in one day or less. Okay, so now what we can compare this to is if you're seeing on YouTube here, figure number 5 is the U.S. permanent digital download revenue. So what it looks like, this is a clear steep decline. 2019, first half of 2019, in terms of downloading singles, albums, or ringtones, 445 million. 2020 went to 340. Can't really, I guess partly you can blame that on COVID, but record stores closing doesn't impact digital sales. And even though everything is kind of on the up and up here in 2021, it's actually gone down from 2020 digital sales. So people are not buying digital singles. They're not buying digital products, but they are buying a shit ton more vinyl, and even CDs are going up. So people, and I think this is part on a little bit of a tangent, part of why NFTs do have a potential here, because people like to collect their vinyl.
I was just about to say, we don't, they're not talking about NFTs here in other digital.
Ah.
I feel like that should be included, right? In a digital permanent download.
Oh, yeah, that's like going to be
next
big.
Year. We're probably going to be looking at NFTs being included, or right? Because that is a digital permanent download. And
is it? I wonder if, now I don't know enough about NFTs, but I'm wondering, is it considered a permanent download? Like, or yes. Do you, it is permanent?
Yes. Well, I mean, just like any permanent download, you can delete it, but yes.
Okay.
So the question is, are people selling songs as a digital permanent download NFT that aren't released otherwise? Mm. It's like artwork wouldn't count for this, but a song would count. And I'm sure someone's doing it. I'm not, but I'm sure someone is. And that would probably start to alter these numbers. Obviously, it's not in here. But I think that if these companies want to keep digital permanent sales going up, or at least not disappearing, I think they have to bring NFTs into this.
How long until you're able to buy NFTs right on Shopify right now? Taylor Swift, you can go and buy shirts, merchandise, right? Artists, they can set up a little merch store that's like hooked up to some third party that does the order. Same thing, like you can plug your tour dates in there. How long until on Spotify, on iTunes, instead of buying an album for $10, you're buying an NFT for $100? How long?
I think that will be a whole separate streaming platform that then other people take the idea, and it will kind of be like Tidal, listen to higher quality music. Here, upload your music here because people can buy your NFTs. You're giving people business ideas right here.
But I think, but it comes down to, we talk about this all the time. It doesn't matter who's the most friendly to the artist. It's about the consumers. So as soon as it doesn't matter if a new streaming platform comes along and they pay an artist 10 grand a stream, it's not going to matter because people are already on Spotify. They're already on Apple Music. They're not going to leave to benefit. Well, what is it? The same price and I have to learn a new thing, but I guess the artists get helped.
Yeah.
I wish it was like that, but it's not. It doesn't matter what's most artist friendly, unfortunately. It matters where the listeners are, because it doesn't matter how friendly Tidal is to the artists. And if they triple the amount that they pay per royalty, it doesn't matter if they have literally 1/1000th of the audience. So being super artist friendly and paying them more isn't a sexy marketing ploy for casual listeners who don't necessarily care. Kind of a tangent, but I'm just wondering how long, like, yes, next year when they do this for like the second half of 2020, no doubt NFTs will be on here. And I'm wondering what category it's going to be considered. But I bet in less than 1 year, major artists will be able to sell some sort of digital product right on Spotify. Just like, instead of buying shirts and mugs that say Taylor Swift on it, you'll be able to download something. United Masters just partnered with Coinbase. That's all blockchain. So that's just a matter of time until they have NFTs on there. So that's just interesting. But in terms of this report here, people are buying music again. The music industry is generating a lot more revenue this year, obviously. But even through this year, it wasn't like January 1st of 2021, every place was open and tours were ripping, and that wasn't the case. There was a slow start. So I still think there's some speed to be built here in terms of revenue. And people like to buy music. People like to buy vinyl. People like to buy these things. people like to spend money on music. What this is just saying is how and where they spend those dollars is adapting. And I think even though I'm going to harp on it again, even though royalty payouts should definitely be higher, even though that the royalty payouts are so low compared to the alternative, not too long ago when most casual listeners were using LimeWire, using torrents, going to YouTube to mp3.com or whatever, most people found ways around paying for music. Streaming, even though the royalties are low, has made it so easy and affordable for the consumer that they'd rather pay $15 a month and have everything they want than to go through the hoops of downloading it themselves and like orchestrating their own library, getting their own album artwork and putting in the information of who's who and who the producer is and the lyrics and all this shit. Streaming has made it so that people are actually willing to pay for something that they can get for free. So that benefits the artist. And think about it. 10 years ago, if you were on the come up, you had a free mixtape that you gave away on DatPiff. Mm-hmm. Even though the streaming royalties are super low, now when someone checks out your music, they're doing it on a platform that generates you a little bit of money directly that you don't need to go play a show to get. Obviously, you're going to 10 or 20x your money if you do, but at least streaming, although should pay more, at least they have made it easier for the consumer to give you money as a musician indirectly. And this kind of ties into what's best for the consumer is what these platforms are going after. It doesn't matter that Tidal is really friendly to the musician because the consumer has shown that they don't really care. Or that, well, that's nice, but I'm already on Spotify and I'm already here. Mm-hmm. They're not going to jump ship to go to Tidal to pay a little bit more so that the quality of the audio is clearer on their $10 headphones that they don't know the difference anyway. Mm-hmm. So streaming, Spotify gets a lot of bad rep, and because you know they're definitely not the most artist-friendly company in the world. But consider, not too long ago, most people were jumping through hoops to listen to music for free.
It's crazy to think that 10 years ago, when we listened to music, a dollar per song to us was like, oh, I don't want to pay that. But yet now people think like, well, we deserve more. It's like, well, consumers weren't willing to pay you a dollar. They're not willing to, right. Like, a consumer, yeah, sure. We've said it before. Like, yeah, they'll be the first ones to be like, you know what? I like that artist. They should get paid more. And they go, cool. Then you have to pay $50 a month. And the consumer's going to go, never mind.
Ooh, never mind. Yeah. Well, and music is this thing where when people see musicians and they see a music video and they see you on Spotify, if they don't know you personally and they don't know where you're from, they kind of assume that you like got it going on. You know, musicians have been so glorified for so long that like when somebody, they just think that, oh, wow, you're on a stage, you got lights and a camera, like you must be rich, like you're a rock star or like you're a rapper, like you must be making a ton of money because that's a lot of what these artists are kind of showing. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, even if they don't mean to, is like, look at all this money I got from my big production. And when big artists do that, and it kind of paints the image of what a musician or an artist is like, the people who aren't quite at that level, it's harder for them to like convince a casual consumer who doesn't really know what's going on that, hey, Spotify needs to pay me more money. And a lot of people don't necessarily care. So, I mean, it goes to show with Tidal. Mm-hmm. And like James just said, like, oh yeah, like maybe you ask somebody, hey, oh, yeah, Harry Styles is your favorite musician. Like, did you know he only gets this much money from his streaming? What do you think most people say? It's, oh, well, you know, he's got shows. He's still richer than me. What do I care? And two, then, oh, that's all he makes? Wow. Okay, how can we help? And then James said, well, you got to pay $49.99 a month to get to Spotify now. And what do you think they're going to do? Ooh, he's all right. He's I'll take the $14.99. He's all right. Yeah, he's doing fine. All right. Right. Yeah. So I know that streaming should be higher for the independent artists, and like that needs to be fixed and needs to be addressed. But not too long ago, people were not paying for music at all. And this money that was generated by the music industry was not going to people who had 2,000 monthly listeners. It was going to the big dogs. And now at least there's a way where these your music can happen, even if it's completely random. If someone ends up on your music and they listen, you get a little bit of cash, where that wasn't happening 10 years ago. And if somebody liked your music, they would go on YouTube and copy the link and download it for free. They're not paying you. So
all the time.
I don't know if this is like, you know, I know a guy who did that, a lot of that. Yeah, I know, I've seen it done many times. a lot of people were going through those hoops to do it and to not pay, because music is something that consumers don't necessarily think that they should be paying for. It's on the radio for free. It's on YouTube for free. It's everywhere for free. Even people, when they buy their monthly subscription to Spotify, they're not necessarily thinking about that. Oh yeah, a few of those dollars goes to musicians I like. They're buying access to Spotify. They don't view it as, ooh, I'm two pennies to Taylor Swift, two pennies to Johnny Cash, two pennies to the Rolling Stones, and one to James on his podcast. Whatever. That's not how they're viewing it. But just the same as like when people watch Netflix, they're not like, oh, wow, a dollar went to Kevin Spacey for House of Cards. Squid Game took a quarter from me. I didn't even finish it.
It was worth it.
Good scene. Okay, but if you're watching here on YouTube, please subscribe to the DeNovo Agency YouTube channel. Check out all the videos we have. We literally have hundreds of topics like this. Leave some comments. If you're listening to the podcast, send us an email to contact@denovoagency.com, and we will answer some of your questions on the next podcast. This has been the Business of Music podcast, and we'll be back sometime soon.
Sometime soon.
I used to say every next week, but then it's like 3 weeks later. You know how it goes. Bye.
The Business of Music podcast, presented by DeNovo Agency. DeNovoAgency.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Business of Music podcast. We love to hear feedback. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to learn even more, and check out denovoagency.com to see how we can help you grow your music business. Until next time, this has been the Business of Music podcast.